Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the Trucknology Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Berlin, and today we're going to talk about kind of an unusual subject you may not think about much, but cargo theft. Cargo theft is a big deal, and obviously it's handled differently in different countries. I'm primarily going to compare and contrast Mexico and the U.S. because Canada functions very much like the U.S. Mexico is the one that's kind of the oddball here. So we're going to talk about that because a lot of our clients that do business in Mexico are very surprised to hear that there's no cargo coverage in Mexico. They're surprised when you talk about the statistics in Mexico for cargo theft. So we're going to spend a few minutes and try to dispel some of those myths and kind of give you some ideas on things you can do if you're a carrier or if you're the shipper or the receiver or whatever to be able to try to mitigate this expense, because it is an obvious cost. If you're shipping your product and it doesn't make it there, somebody steals it, somebody's paying the bill. And in some cases, it's going to be you, to believe it or not, depending on where you operate. So we're going to talk for a little bit about cargo theft, and I'm going to give you some ideas, some things that happen in the real world, how it actually goes down, what to watch out for, and then I'll give you a half a dozen ideas on how you can mitigate that cost and that exposure. Now, you're probably never going to ever get away from it completely, but anything you can do to reduce it is obviously good, right? So I've got a few stats here that I just want to read off to you. I haven't committed these to memory because obviously they change all the time, but we're going to talk real quickly about the prevalence and scale of cargo theft. So in Mexico, according to these numbers in 2022, there was approximately 20,000 cargo theft incidents in Mexico compared to about 2,217 in the U.S. One-tenth the amount of cargo theft incidences happen in the U.S. versus Mexico, and there's a lot of reasons for that, right? But it's a big problem. So obviously taking care to make sure that you're not losing your freight is a big deal. One of the biggest differences, though, in Mexico versus the U.S. is in Mexico they use a lot of strong-arm tactics like hijacking, and they'll actually threaten the driver and kick him out and steal the whole truck and trailer. Whereas in the U.S., they usually do things like fraud, or they'll do a double brokering scheme, or they'll do a lot of different ways to be able to steal the freight, but it's generally speaking not a strong hand method or something that's armed as a hijacking. So it does happen in both U.S. and Mexico. The real difference is why and how it happens, I guess, you know, versus, you know, one is more deceptive and less violent. The other one is obviously very violent. And some areas where they report high vulnerability in Mexico, commonly stolen items include fuel, auto parts, especially tires, electronics, liquor, consumer goods, and metals. Food and beverage products account for about 40% of the stolen freight in Mexico. In the U.S., some of the bigger areas are things like electronics, home and garden products. Those are more of the top targets. And as far as locations go, in Mexico, some of the more high-risk areas include the non-toll highways in Puebla, Tlaxcala, Jalisco, Veracruz, Guanajuato, I can't pronounce this one, sorry, Guerrero, and Nuevo León. Those are very popular areas. And then in the United States, California, Texas, and Florida seem to be some of the bigger states. And then inland hubs like Illinois and Memphis are prime targets as well. So those are the facts. Those are the stats, I guess, for lack of a better term. So I thought it would make sense to be able to understand exactly how big this problem is. But generally speaking, the larger issue is that in Mexico, they really don't have a common understanding or a common rollout of insurance to be able to cover carriers in the event that there is a cargo theft. And I'm sure it has something to do with the fact that nobody wants to insure 20,000 loads a year that get stolen. So it makes it very expensive. In the U.S., obviously, everybody is statutorily required to carry at least $100,000 in cargo coverage. So with that in mind, it's a lot less risk to the shippers, a lot less risk to the carriers. Although, if you have multiple carrier or multiple cargo thefts, you can be sure that your insurance rates will go up to a point where you're not able to get insurance anymore and you'll get kicked out of the business. So mitigating those losses and protecting your shippers and receivers are very important, even as a carrier. All right, so tactics used in Mexico, some things to remember are criminals are prone to using jamming devices to evade detection. There's also a lot of cartel involvement. So in Mexico, again, if you've got any supply chains coming in and out of Mexico, that's just a risk you're going to have to be prepared to handle. And understand that you can get specialty insurance coverages. You can also get armed guards in Mexico a lot easier than even than you can in the U.S., believe it or not. And they recognize that there's an exposure there. So the only thing you can really do in Mexico is you know, use good common sense. There are some mitigation tactics, but understand that Mexico is more of a hijacking type scenario than you'll find in the U.S., okay? So let's talk about some mitigation strategies real quick. Honestly, the very most important first one is real-time tracking. If you have complete visibility of this truck, where it goes, you recognize when it stops for a disproportionate amount of time, or it's using a non-toll road in order to make its transit, you could probably identify that as a risky behavior, especially in Mexico. So monitoring the truck real time is very important. If you've got an EDI or an API connection with the carrier or with your 3PL or whoever is managing those trucks, anytime those trucks stops, especially in Mexico, they should be watching to make sure that that truck gets moving in a timely fashion, that you're contacting the carrier and those kind of things to make sure it's not being manipulated while the truck is stopped. The other big thing in Mexico, I'm going to add, is route to toll roads. Toll roads, for some reason in Mexico, have a much higher police presence, much less likely to be interfered with by highwaymen, for lack of a better term. And generally speaking, the roads are maintained a lot better. I travel in Mexico quite a bit, and the toll roads do make a difference. So that's one of the things that can help, is make sure that as you route your freight, keep it on toll roads as best you can. Another important thing is tamper evident seals. I know a lot of carriers will use seals for things like tier one automotive freight. That they require a seal from the time you pick up at the supplier till you get to the final destination. And again, that's a really good tactic. Their seals are really inexpensive. It's a simple number that you write down on the bill of lading and make sure that's the same seal that gets to the consignee when they cut the seal. That's one way to check to make sure that something hasn't been tampered with. Surveillance and secure facilities, another big deal. Trucks parked off to the side somewhere may or may not be loaded. If they've got a seal on them, then that kind of gives criminals the idea that the trailer does in fact have freight on it. If your company is used to hauling consumer goods or things that are easily marketed or easily, fenced, I guess, for lack of a better term, ways you can sell it without and make money without there being a lot of records. Having a truck parked in a fenced parking lot that's not gated or doesn't have security cameras really is just an invitation for crime. So if you're going to park trucks in a secured lot, make sure it's fenced and gated, you can't get access, and that there's surveillance cameras, because that really does set the truck up for easy pilferage if there's nobody watching it at any given time. Coming back to routes, again, another thing about routes, avoid the high-risk routes. There's a lot of ways to get through a certain area. Even in Mexico, there's places that you don't want to go. Even Mexicans don't generally go there when they travel. So try to avoid those when you're running your trucks through there, right? So stick with toll roads the best you can. Stick with main traffic areas. Try to stay out of areas that are up in the mountains or out of the way somewhere where there's not a lot of people. In the U.S., you know, you can try to stick with carriers that are CTPAT certified. And I'll do another episode on CTPAT, but really CTPAT is designed as a security protocol for trucking, particularly for cross-border. Now, it does apply in the United States as well. And what it does is it talks about things that does driver training to make sure the truck is sealed correctly, that proper application of tags, the proper use of storage lots, how to be aware when you're parked at like a rest area or a truck stop to make sure somebody's not loitering around your truck. There's a lot of things in the CTPAT program that can help give awareness to clients to make sure they're not losing their freight to cargo theft. But and not every carrier is CTPAT, frankly. Those that do the cheaper commodities or other commodities that are not tied to industrial manufacturing are often not CTPAT qualified carriers. Ones that are, however, reach a little bit higher standard of quality. So I would kind of look for those, especially if you're doing cross-border activity. Carrier vetting and collaboration. Here's another big one. There are a lot of service providers out there like Carrier 411, RMIS, and a couple others that do a really good job vetting carriers. So what I mean by vetting carriers is you're evaluating that carrier's performance over a long period of time. You're looking for bad reviews. You're looking for good current insurance. Here's a little trick too, by the way, that was happening way before a lot of these online internet verification tools were in place. A carrier could go out and pay the down payment for their cargo and insurance coverage and then never actually pay the final bill, and then they still have a certificate. So what will happen is you think the carrier's got coverage, but they really don't. And so you have a freight claim, and then all of a sudden you're not covered and you wonder why. So now the way the Carrier 411 and the RMIS and those kind of systems work is they check this on a regular basis. Anytime there's a lapse of coverage, you get notification. So rather than risking having a carrier's insurance lapse, you simply subscribe to one of these services and put in the carrier's MC number, and it'll tell you if the carrier's insurance is still good. And it also give you their score, their basic rating score. And if you're looking for a carrier that's less likely to be a theft problem, find one that's trustworthy, that's reliable, that's got good reviews, that's been in business a long time. Don't get somebody with an MC number that's 2 months old, or even 6 months old for that matter. You want to get somebody that's got a year or two worth of history. And of course, I hear the carriers, small carriers in the background saying, well, if we can't get freight, then how are we ever going to get 2 years in the background? Well, I get it. That's the same problem you have with starting a credit score, I suppose. If you don't have credit, who's going to give you credit? But that's a problem for the carrier, not necessarily for the shippers and the consignees. And so I'm really talking about shippers and consignees at this point. Make sure you get a carrier with a good mature MC number. So those vetting services are available, but I can also tell you that almost every 3PL or broker that's worth their salt or reputable in any way uses these types of services. In our group, for instance, we actually subscribe and have every 15 minutes we get a complete sweep of our entire 5,000, 6,000 member carrier base, and they evaluate all of them to make sure that their insurances are current, that their basic scores are good, that they don't have any big glaring problems on their safety score, and that there's good reviews out there. So we try to make sure that when we give a carrier freight, that it's going to the right carrier and a carrier that we trust. Now, I can tell you right now, it doesn't always happen. There's carriers out there that look really good but still do shady stuff. We had a carrier not too long ago that had a great reputation. We've been letting them haul our freight for months and months and months. Then all of a sudden, I guess they got busy, decided to double broker a load unbeknownst to us and against our contract, and we end up finding this load missing, right? So it happens, but I can tell you, you make sure you've got good contracts in place and make sure you're vetting the carriers you use, because that's really one of your biggest mitigation stop gaps is good carrier vetting. Employee training and background checks, that's another thing. I'll tell you a real quick story. When we first opened the Mexico office, our very first plant was in Toluca, Mexico, which is just southwest of Mexico City. And I met with the plant manager there. He was a United States guy that was transplanted down to Mexico to run this operation for a big Tier 1. If I said the name of the Tier 1, you'd recognize it. He said, the primary reason I'm hiring you guys is because my freight manager, my logistics guy in the plant, has got some shady deals going with carriers, and I can't root it out. I can't find out who's being cheated. I can't find it. He's getting kickbacks, right? So he's getting freight. He's getting kickbacks from the carriers. And those are the kind of situations where freight theft certainly could happen. So let's just say you've got a freight manager in Mexico that's getting kickbacks from carriers. He's letting the carriers know when what kind of freight is available on what kind of trucks. And let's just say that truck happens to get hijacked. There's a distinct chain of events there that happened because you didn't have good employee vetting, you didn't have good employee training, you didn't vet the carriers correctly, and they colluded and stole money from you. So I sat with that plant manager, and he said, I can't root this out. I don't know for sure it's him. I think it is. But if I have you doing all the freight and you vetting all the carriers, then I'm 100% sure that no carriers are getting kickbacks, or no carriers are giving kickbacks to my people. So it happens. It happens a lot. And it's really not the first time I've heard it. I just know for a fact that was what the situation that hit with me right away was it happens. So make sure you're doing good employee training, good background checks on your people, and that's really one of the things you can do. Intermodal solutions. There are a lot of options out there where you put a truck right on a train, a rail car, and send it all the way to its final destination or to an offloading point, and that does a lot to prevent theft as well. Obviously, if the train is moving down the tracks at 45 miles an hour, they don't stop as often as a truck. And when they do stop, it's in much more remote locations. They're not generally at a truck stop along a main freeway. They're usually at a rail terminal or a rail hub somewhere, and it's a lot less access, and there's generally more security. So intermodal freight is a much, much easier way to avoid cargo theft than a car would be, than a regular transport would be going down the road. So keep that in mind as an option. I know that intermodal doesn't work for every kind of freight, so I get that for sure, but it is what it is. All right, so let's talk about some other things that you could do to help yourself. Let's say you've done everything you possibly could. You've vetted the carrier, you've got good routes for the carrier, you're using seals and all that other stuff. Some other things you can do to help with risk, right? The very first thing is specialized insurance. Now, in Mexico, you can actually get a specialized insurance policy to cover a high-value shipment. They may want you to hire security guards to go with it, depending on the route of travel, depending on the commodity. Let's say you're hauling hauling styrofoam, for lack of a better term. You got a big truck full of styrofoam. Well, guess what? Nobody wants that. Nobody's going to steal it. Nobody's going to take it. It's low value. The whole truckload may cost, $500. It costs you more probably in freight than it does to actually move the material. I know it's a silly example, but I'm trying to draw a point here. And then the next truck right next to it may have aluminum ingots. Aluminum is very valuable in ingots, and they're very easy to fence and sell. So there are times when you're going to want to put a particular type of insurance on a truck just to be on a safe side. Even though you've checked all the boxes, you've done everything you could to mitigate risk, the best thing you can do is buy some insurance. I'm thinking of things like liquor, specialty electronics, consumer electronics, things that are easy to sell. So there are insurance policies available in Mexico, and they're generally on a case-by-case basis. So if you're hauling freight that's high value, that's something to think about. In the United States, like I said earlier, every carrier is statutorily required to carry $100,000 in cargo coverage. Now, a good 3PL or a good broker would also carry what's called a contingent cargo coverage, and our companies do that. Native American Logistics and Top Worldwide both have contingent cargo coverage and contingent auto liability coverage. And what does that actually mean? Kind of like it says, if for some reason the carrier's insurance is insufficient to cover the load, or it doesn't cover the load. Let's just say, for instance, we've done everything that we possibly could. We vetted the carrier. We've got carrier 411 on it. We're looking at it. We recognize before we actually give them the load that everything's good. Their insurance is in place. Their safety scores are in place. Their contract's in place. Good reputation, blah, 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 and everything happens. And then they end up double brokering that load to somebody else who doesn't have any of those things, and let's say they find the trailer turned over in a ditch somewhere in the middle of Tennessee. What happens to that freight? Well, let's just say it's $140,000 worth of freight and the carrier's insurance is only $100,000. You got a $40,000 delta that's on you. Well, that's why a broker may carry a contingent plan. If for some reason that carrier's coverage doesn't respond or doesn't honor the insurance for whatever reason, there could be 100 different things that the carrier does wrong to invalidate that cargo coverage. That means there's another layer of protection between you and the cargo. So while you may think that brokerage is a dirty word or a bad way to move freight, what a good broker or a good 3PL will do is put an additional layer of coverage in there between you and any potential claims. So contingent auto liability and contingent cargo are pretty important coverages. And if you're using a broker, you might want to consider making sure they have that, because they don't all have it. Okay. Next thing, claims management. Another big thing is once you do get a freight claim going, making sure you get paid on it and paid for the right amount. There are a lot of freight claim technologies out there, but I would assert that a good freight broker or a 3PL, if you've got a good one like us, we would handle all that for you. We would handle the entire claim. We would supply all the documentation to the insurance company. We would negotiate with them on your behalf. And when a freight claim comes in, we'll send you the check. So getting a good broker that's full service is a good way to mitigate those costs. So another thing, proper documentation. This one actually throws people, right? You wouldn't think it would, but to make sure you've got the right bill of lading, you've got a good commercial invoice so you know exactly how much the freight cost. You need to have that information if you're ever going to get a freight claim taken care of. You're going to want to make sure that you're writing the documentation correctly on the bill of lading. You don't want there to be a situation where you didn't properly note a defect or something missing or the freight wasn't counted correctly. And so you want to make sure that you've got good documentation. Now, I'll tell you something that we typically do for our clients that are receiving a lot of inbound material. I actually give them a self-inking stamp. And on every bill of lading that they receive, I have them stamp this defective. Every bill of lading is stamped defective. And primarily the stamp says something to the effect of receive subject to load and count verification to be determined later or something like that. There's some small disclaimer in there that says this particular freight has not been counted before we received it. So if there's a loss, we're going to come back to you with a freight claim because here's why. As soon as you receive a freight bill from a carrier and you sign your name on it and put the date because that's what's required, you've basically said, I'm receiving this freight, I'm receiving custody of this freight from you, you've done everything you're supposed to do to get it to me, and I accept it in the condition that you've delivered it. Think about that for a second. So now you've unloaded the freight and it's in a staging area getting ready to go to your warehouse, and you realize I'm missing three entire boxes of freight, three pallets of freight. Why don't I have these three pallets? Well, guess what? You've already signed the bill of lading clean, so that means the carrier is going to say, not my problem. It's yours. You signed that you received it all. I can't tell what happened after I dropped it off. So my recommendation to everybody that receives freight is sign every bill of lading. Even if you don't have one of those self-inking stamps, sign it subject to load and count, subject to load and count, or concealed damage, or something like that. You've got to sign every bill of lading defective in order to protect your right to go back to that carrier should you discover something's a problem. Here's where I've seen this happen before. So we used to bring in huge super sacks and gons full of plastic resin. Well, sometimes those resin totes would be punctured by a fork and they would spill all over the place. Well, that material is actually very expensive. I mean, to the tune of $3, $4, $5, $6 a pound, and they're 1,600 pound gons. All it takes is 30 or 40 pounds of that to be spilled, and it becomes a real number. So if you didn't cause that damage and the carrier didn't cause that damage and you signed a good bill of lading, guess what? You're stuck. You own it. So what I'm suggesting is every bill of lading that you receive, sign defective, because that at least buys you time to inspect everything, count everything again, make sure everything's there. And then if you come back a week later, or really it should be a few days later, there's a point where a carrier will no longer honor a freight claim if you've waited 6 months and never said anything. But if you're a week later and say, listen, I just unpackaged this that you delivered to me and I found that there was fork damage to it and I want to file a freight claim. Well, the first thing the carrier is going to do is grab the bill of lading from the delivery and look at it. And if it says just your name and a date, they're going to say it's free and clear. There's no claim that can even be honored, won't even be entertained because you signed this bill of lading clean. So what I'm telling you is make sure you sign every bill of lading as defective. And by defective, I mean it just has some language in there that says you're going to inspect this later, count it later or something, and it buys you a little bit of time to do some investigations so you don't get stuck with a claim that you couldn't do anything about. All right, last I guess I'm going to say there's some legal preparedness you can do. The CARMAC, U.S. CARMAC Amendment is one that allows you to negotiate good contracts with carriers for interstate cartage. It also has a lot of protections in there for cargo claims. That stuff doesn't really happen in Mexico. Mexico is much more the wild, wild west as it comes to cargo claims. So your best bet there is to have a good attorney in Mexico and be prepared, because when a claim happens, you're going to have very little recourse, very little very infrequently. Matter of fact, I think the stat said somewhere around less than 3% of cargo claims ever get resolved. So when you've been involved in a cargo claim incident, make sure you have all your paperwork together. Make sure you've got an attorney on retainer or available, and make sure your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed, because you're likely to lose that freight. And in order to get any recompense from it, you're going to need to have all your paperwork in order and to be able to file your freight claim. That includes your custom, your invoice, your import invoice if it's going internationally, in domestic, and can just be a commercial invoice. But you need to have all that stuff well documented, because when it's time to make a claim, the carrier is absolutely looking for every single reason not to pay you. Not because it comes out of their pocket necessarily, although they may have a deductible of $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000. The bigger problem is, the more freight claims they have, the harder it is for them to get insurance renewals in the future. So the biggest problem is really more about the carrier's long-term success. So you've got to make sure that you're watching out for yourself, because they are going to do everything they possibly can to deny claims so that they don't have to pay them. All right. So if I could give you just really one big piece of advice, pay attention. Cargo is one of those things where you assume that because it got loaded on the truck correctly, you're giving the carrier the responsibility for securing that freight inside the shipping container, the box or the tank or whatever it is. But don't assume that just because they're taking possession of the freight, that it's automatically going to make it to you. That carrier is the one with the most exposure to risk, because he's outside of a secured building. He's parking in unknown lots around the country, potentially around another country also. They don't always really give it a lot of thought, because their job is just to drive the truck. It's not necessarily in their mind to make sure the cargo is not being interdicted. Your job, however, because you're the shipper and or the receiver of the freight, is to make sure that cargo is in fact making it to its destination. So get a good 3PL, get a good broker that knows how to mitigate these risks. They will help educate you on how to do the proper packaging, the proper documentation, and they'll be looking out to make sure you're getting the right carrier to be able to handle this freight. There's a lot of shady guys out there, and I've said this before. I don't know if I said it on the podcast, but I'll say it here. The transportation business is really can be a little bit shady at times. We've got some gray areas around the edges, and there's actually some dark hat players in the trucking space, and a good broker or 3PL will help you steer clear of those guys and try to keep your freight from being stolen. I can tell you, in the 20 plus years that we've been doing this as a 3PL only, as a, not counting our carrier exposure, because we were a CTPAT certified carrier as well before we sold the trucking company, and now as a broker and 3PL, we understand very, very clearly how cargo security works, how driver training works, how CTPAT works, and all these other things. And so what I'm suggesting is find you a broker or a 3PL that has that kind of experience to help manage that, and you'll reduce your exposure to risk, less likely to lose cargo. And if it's irreplaceable cargo or cargo that's very expensive to manufacture, obviously the price and the time could be a difference. There's also been situations where on a just-in-time type shipment, it gets interdicted, and now all of a sudden the plant was expecting freight tomorrow to help it build its requirements for the next 4 or 5 days. And with that truck being stolen, now you've got a 5-day gap where there's no product to build, and perhaps that entire plant shuts down because of that theft. So cargo theft can have a lot bigger implications than really just the loss of that freight. It really can impact your customer if you're the manufacturer and you're bringing material in. So cargo theft in the U.S. is a big deal, not as big as it is in Mexico, obviously. So if you're in a domestic supply chain, you know, just follow the basic steps and you should be okay. If you're in Mexico, heightened awareness is definitely needed, and you're going to find that cargo is treated much differently in Mexico than it is in the United States. So I guess just be ready for that, okay? If you don't do anything in Mexico or Canada, then it's kind of irrelevant. All right, that's really all I have for today. I think the cargo theft conversation is a good one. If you've got any other ideas or suggestions for topics that you'd like some information on or some feedback on, feel free to send me an email. My email is jberlin@elhc.net. All right, thanks again, everybody. I appreciate it. We'll look forward to talking to you on the next episode.